Dame Shema
Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine
Namaste Sarasvati
Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine Ancha kalpatrubhyascha viva sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavaneyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Hey Krishna karuna sindhu dinabandho jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha kanta namo sute sapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It has been said that this mantra is a cure for insomnia. When devotees hear this mantra, they immediately go to sleep. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaganarottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta Prayeshavadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 11. Jagabharata instructs King Rahugana. And this is verse number 17, am I right? Yes, verse 17, okay. Bratribhyam enam tat adabravirjam.
Bratribhyam enam tat adabravirjam.
Bratribhyam enam tat adabravirjam.
Bratribhyam enam tat adabravirjam.
Upekshayad yeditam apramatta. Upekshaya yetitam apramatta.
Upekshaya yetitam apramatta.
Guror harish charanopasanastro.
Guror harish charanopasanastro.
Guror harish charanopasanastro. Jahi yadikam sayam atma mosham.
Jahi yadikam sayam atma
mosham. Others, how about ladies first?
Bratri Yamenam Tat Adabhaviryam. Upeshaya Devitam Akramata
Guru Harishcharano Pasanastro
Jahi Vyalikam Svayam Atmamosham
Bratrivyamenam Tadadabhravyayam
Upechaya Yeditam Akramatta
Guru Harishcharano Pasanastro
Jahi Vyalikam Svayam Atmamosham
Gents.
Bratrivyamenam taradad bravyam.
Upekshaya
dyeditam apramatta.
Guru haris charano bhasanastro.
Jahi Yalikam Svayam Atma Mosham
Bratrityamenam Taradabhravyam
Upekshaya Dittam Apramatta
Guru Harish Charano Pasanastro
Jahi Yalikam Svayam Atma Mosham. Okay, what does it all mean? Bratrivyam, the formidable enemy. Now, this is interesting because Bratri means what? Means brother. Bratrivyam. Brotherness? I don't know. Anyway, perhaps in the commentaries, Prabhupada is reading.
Enam.
This mind.
This mind.
Tat.
That.
Adabravirayam. Very, very powerful.
Very powerful.
The word adabra means not scant. So not a small amount, so therefore very much, very strong. Upekshaya, by neglecting. Adyedhitam, unnecessarily increased in power. Apramatta. One who is without illusion. Pramatta is sometimes translated as madness. So one who is not mad. Guru of the spiritual master.
Hare
of the Supreme Personality of
Godhead.
Charana of the lotus feet.
Upasana
astra, applying the weapon of worshipping. Jahi, conquer. Vyalikam,
false.
Svayam,
personally.
Atmamosham, which covers the constitutional position of the living entity. The word Moshe, I looked up, it means theft. It doesn't say that here. But literally it means theft, or that which has been stolen. And a Moshaka is a thief. So Atma Mosham,
the theft of the self. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, this uncontrolled mind is the greatest enemy of a living entity. If one neglects it or gives it a chance, it will grow more and more powerful and will become victorious. Although it is not factual, it is very strong. It covers the constitutional position of the soul. O King, please try to conquer this mind by the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do this with great care. Shall we repeat it together? What's your tradition here? Yes? Okay. This uncontrolled mind
is
the greatest enemy of the living entity.
If one neglects it or gives it a chance,
it will grow more and more powerful.
And will become victorious.
Although it is not factual,
it is very strong.
It covers the constitutional position of the soul.
O King,
please try to conquer this mind.
By the weapon of service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master
and of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Do this with great care.
Purport. There is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered. Neglect. The mind is always telling us to do this or that. Therefore, we should be very expert in disobeying the mind's orders. Gradually, the mind should be trained to obey the orders of the soul. It is not that one should obey the orders of the mind. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say that to control the mind, one should beat it with shoes many times just after waking, and again before going to sleep. In this way, one can control the mind. This is the instruction of all the shastras. If one does not do so, one is doomed to follow the dictations of the mind. Another bona fide process is to abide strictly by the orders of the spiritual master and engage in the Lord's service. Then the mind will be automatically controlled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed Srila Rupa Goswami, Brahmanda Bhamite Kon Bhagavan Ji Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Latabi. When one receives the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's real life begins. If one abides by the orders of the spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, he is freed from service to the mind. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Jodha Bharata Instructs King Rahugana. Jodha Bharata Ki Jai. King Rahugana. All right, so good instructions he's giving to a fortunate king. And this possibility of becoming fortunate
is coming by the grace of Jara. Bharata, he is known as Jara because of his behavior, although in fact he is not at all Jara. What does Jara mean? Yeah, that can be one translation. Stupid or dull non-animated, dull. The material world is sometimes referred to as jada jagat. So jada bharata is not jada. He is actually most intelligent. He is dhira. And because he is most intelligent, he is qualified to instruct the king and to instruct all of us. We are fortunate that we can hear in on this conversation. This is a short chapter. This is verse number 17. It's coming to the conclusion of the chapter with this very comprehensive instruction on dealing with the mind. An instruction which has been elaborated in this chapter and is also discussed in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita. And in fact, this verse might remind us, taking Srila Prabhupada's translation of Bhratridyam, the formidable enemy, it may remind us of verses in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, in which Krishna tells Arjuna that there are two possibilities. The mind can be an enemy, can be our most formidable enemy, or it can be our friend. It's a strange thought that one's mind would become one's enemy. That which is accompanying me all the time could be my own enemy. What kind of life am I living if my very own mind is my enemy? Prahlad Maharaj, in his effort to help his troubled father, informs him, Hiranyakashipu, your only enemy is your own mind. Hiranyakashipu was thinking he had so many enemies. And he was thinking that he's conquering over all these enemies. And he's perceiving his own son as his enemy. His own son, who is a Vaishnava, who is surrendered to the Supreme Lord, whose every thought is directed to the Lord. Hiranyakashipu is thinking, this is my enemy. What an unfortunate position to be in, to think that devotees of the Lord are one's enemy. And yet, sometimes even devotees of the Lord will conceive of other devotees of the Lord as their enemy. How strange. How amazing. How is this the case? Prahlad Maharaj tells us. It's because the mind tells us. And we become followers of the mind, which is our actual enemy. What do you do when you are fighting with an enemy? If you're a good warrior, you will have a strategy. Our good friend and devotee, Shonagarishi Prabhu, who was here a few days ago, he has a hobby. And his hobby is to study books about war. He can tell you anything and everything. He has a whole library of books, World War I, World War II, this war, that war. can tell you all about this general, that general, this particular battle, how they won that other battle, because he's interested in strategy. And he uses his knowledge of strategy very effectively in his preaching. And so if we find ourselves having our mind as our enemy, then what will be our strategy for dealing with that situation? So that, Srila Prabhupada is giving some nice indicators in his purport. And the first of these is really very wonderful. He's simply referring to the verse itself, which has the word upekshaya. Upeksha can mean to ignore, to neglect. Upekshaya, by means of neglecting, ignoring. Upekshaya. So Prabhupada says, there is one easy weapon with which the mind can be conquered, neglect. Now, you may say, not so easy. Why? Why not so easy? Because we have become accustomed to listen to our minds as our best of friends. If someone is a dear friend, then naturally we will listen to them, to their advice. Because they have our best interest at heart. But if someone is posing as a friend who actually wants to give us trouble, then we're really in trouble. Because there we are, listening to this person, thinking it's good advice, when actually it's bad advice. That's a very dangerous position to be in. We can learn to neglect the mind if we remember one statement of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani paranyahur indriyedyat param mana, manasastu param buddhe yogudhe paradastu sa. Krishna is explaining that there's a hierarchy. And the hierarchy is that indriyani paranyahur, it is said, ahu. Krishna doesn't say that I say, he says, it is said. That the senses are above the sense objects, above or superior. And superior to the sense objects is the mind. And superior to the mind is the intelligence, and superior to the intelligence is saha, him, the soul. What is material life about? Essentially, it is about an inversion of that hierarchy. Material life means we are thinking that the sense objects are at the top of the hierarchy. The senses are the servants of the sense objects. The mind is below the senses and therefore is a servant of the senses. And the intelligence, what other purpose could there possibly be for intelligence than to make all arrangements so that that which the mind directs, which is being directed by the senses, which is being directed by the sense objects, is satisfied, so that I will be satisfied. That is the misconception of material existence. But Krishna says, no, 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 no. You got it all wrong. Turn that upside down. And then what will happen, you'll be able to, the mind will be in its proper place, subordinate to what? What will the mind be subordinate to? Well, yes, the intelligence. Yeah. And what is the very specific, how can we tell that the intelligence is functioning. How can we tell that our intelligence, what's a simple technique for activating the intelligence? Any ideas? Any suggestions? Say again? Hear instructions of spiritual master, okay. And that's certainly correct. I'm thinking of another activity of intelligence. Well, yeah, that's a kind of inevitable answer of devotees. There is something to be said for your answer. Okay, but how do we discriminate? What? How?
Right and wrong.
Well, that's one sort of object of discrimination. I'm trying to get a more, a more general point. The point I want to make is that we ask questions. And Srila Prabhupada explains, I think it's also in Third Canto, one of the characteristics of intelligence is doubt, to doubt. And so what we can use doubting in a positive way by doubting our minds. And doubting the mind is to question, is this the only way to look at this situation? Or is there another way to look at it? And here comes a little example that I like to give, which I heard about. I wasn't present, but many years ago, devotees in Germany were doing Harinam in the street. I think they were in the city of Cologne, and they were set up sitting down on a carpet. Harmonia, mridanga, kartals, and so on. And there was one devotee who was originally from India. He was there for some weeks, I think, just joining in the kirtan. So at one point, one person came along, and, these things do happen, especially in Germany. I don't know if it happens here in Boston ever, but one fellow came along and he took an open bottle of beer and he poured it over the head of the devotee from India while he was, I don't know if he was playing mridanga or kartals or whatever. If this had been me, I would have been very annoyed. But the devotee, it was reported later, he said, "Oh, it is Abhishek." So he was interpreting what was happening in a different way than probably most of us would have interpreted it. We would have interpreted it as an insult, right? And I would. Such an insult. But this person, this devotee, took it as an offering. It's a very sort of crude and crazy sort of an offering, but he saw it as offering. In a similar way to the story I'm sure you all know, 1966, 26 Second Avenue, New York. Prabhupada is lecturing. A few devotees are there, people, and this man comes in who is obviously drunk, and he brings the toilet paper, and he sort of stumbles in, and he goes to the back of the room, opens the bathroom, puts the toilet paper in there, stumbles out. Everyone's kind of looking, and he actually, Mukunda Maharaj tells his memory
The man did not just turn around and walk out. He stayed for some time. He sat down and he listened. Apparently Prabhupada said, he is not in order, but he is doing service. So he recognized the service. So, but my point here is about strategy. One strategy is indeed to neglect the mind. But you may say, yes, but the mind is going to come back 2 seconds later and it's going to protest. What? You are not listening to me. And it will start speaking louder and louder and louder and louder. Listen to me! Like small children sometimes, when they don't get what they want, what do? Yeah, they throw a tantrum. And they have learned that if I just throw a tantrum, I'll get what I want. Sooner or later, I'll get what I want. So you may say, how can I just neglect the mind? Just ignore the mind. Well, ignoring the mind is step one. But then we need to also change the mind. And how do we change the mind? We have to activate the intelligence. And how do we activate intelligence? Simple question to ask yourself. Could I look at this situation in a different way? Could I look at this particular person in a different way? And this can have a wonderful result. Because this question is opening up the intelligence to what? What is it that's higher than the intelligence? The soul. And what is higher than the soul? Super soul, yes. And so Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, I think it's verse number 9. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukeshu tata mana apamana yo. Jita atmana. You have the word jahi here, which means conquer. Jita is the past passive participle. Conquered. Jita atmana prashantasya, of the one who has attained, who is peaceful, prashanta, paramatma, the super soul, samahita, has been attained, samahita, one has achieved one is lined up with the desire of the super soul. That is the position of one whose mind is conquered, but you can turn it around and say the mind will be conquered if one opens up to the will of the Lord. How do we know what is the will of the Lord? We hear from Guru, we hear from Sadhu, we hear from Shastra. And so that's what is also explained in this verse, that Guru Hares Charano Pasad, Charana Upasana Astra. That's a very nice expression. The weapon of worship of the feet of the Lord and of the Guru. Who would ever think of worship as a weapon? We have also in 15th chapter of the Gita the weapon of knowledge. By the weapon of knowledge, one can cut down this tree of material existence. So here, taking worship of the Lord and the Guru as one's weapon, it is possible to conquer the mind. Why? Because worship is not just a matter of going through motions of, we have the
the deity worship mudra. This is the deity worship mudra, right? Oh, you're doing worship. Oh, you know, waving, so many things. But worship, it's also related to the notion of approaching. We have the word Upanishad, which means approaching, and ni, sitting down, and hearing confidential knowledge, Upanishad. So approaching with reverence, and that means with the ears open. And this is not so easy as it sounds, because we're accustomed to listening more to our minds. And even as we're listening to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, simultaneously our minds are busy grinding away with its particular habits of thought. The mind has also been compared to a plow. We know that that Balaram at one time, in a somewhat altered state of mind, shall we say, called for Yamuna, because he wanted to enjoy in her waters, and Yamuna's response was, "Not now, you get yourself sober and then we can discuss, but right now you're in no state for this." And of course Balaram gets annoyed, and he won't take no for an answer, and what does he do? He takes his plow and he creates a canal, so to say. He drags Yamuna to his own proximity. That image is taken then by one of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that song. What is his name? Nitai Gunamani Yamar. Nitai Gunamani. Lochan, yes, thank you. Lochan Das Thakur takes this image. He remembers that Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram, and just as Balaram is making this canal with his plow, similarly Nityananda Prabhu is making canals, but he explains, as Prabhupada explains, he's making a canal of Krishna Prema that's coming to every door. He's going door to door. Protigare gare gya koro e bhikka balo krishna bhajo krishna koro krishna shikka. Yes. He's going door to door with Haridas Thakur, and he's saying, "Balo Krishna, chant Hare Krishna, bhajo Krishna, worship Krishna, koro krishna shikka," shiksha in Bengali, shikha, "and do Krishna's instructions, follow Krishna's instructions." Well, the mind can also be thought of as a kind of plow. And if we can direct it in the right direction, namely to the lotus feet of the Lord, then we are developing a habit, just as the plow, it is digging down, and then water will habitually run in that furrow. So if we can direct the plow of the mind to the lotus feet of the Lord, then the mind becomes our friend. What is it? Bandhu atmatmanatmanam natmanam avasadaya. Bandaiva hyatmano bandur bandaiva ripur atmana. It's these two possibilities, either friend or enemy. Ripu means enemy. Bandhu is friend. So what do you think? Should we take seriously Jadbharata's advice? Yeah? Maybe for one day.
Grantarashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Any further comments or questions at these points?
There's also that one verse, Yamnai Sankirtanabhaya, Vijantihi Sumedasaha.
Ah, Sumedas, yes. Thank you.
Those are intelligent.
Yes, yes. Kaling Sabajayantyaya, Gunagya Sarabhagina. Yatra Sankirtane Naiva. No, that's another verse. Kaler Doshina. Krishna Varnam. That's the verse. Thank you. Yes. Krishna Varnam. Tvisha Krishnam. Sango Pangastra Parisha. Yajnyai Sankirtana Prayai. Yajanti Hi Su Medas. Not just Medas, intelligent, but Su Medas, very intelligent. People think we are crazy when we do sankirtan, and we think they are crazy. The feeling is mutual. You are thinking we are crazy, we are thinking you are crazy. So sorry. Yeah. Anything else? Something?
Please come back to Boston.
Come back to Boston. Well, if there wasn't this big pond in between where I spend most of the time, I might come back more often. But thank you. Thank you. It's very nice. Nice to be here with you. And thank you all for your kind hospitality. Very encouraging. I'm sorry I haven't sort of been taking part more in temple activities. I've been trying to get something completed, and I'm happy to report, by the grace of Radha Gopi Vallabha, I finished one writing task which I've been able to send off for translation into Chinese. I'm preparing a small book introducing the Bhagavad Gita for the Chinese educated audience, for sort of for academics. And so I just finished one portion of that, which I call the 18 Yogas of the Bhagavad Gita, a sort of summary of each chapter of Bhagavad Gita with sort of emphasis on the yoga aspect of each chapter, as each chapter in the traditional titles. Prabhupada uses some of them, but not all of them. But in all 18 chapters, they are referred to with the word yoga. So chapter 1 is called Arjuna Vishada Yoga, the yoga of Arjuna's lamentation. Yeah. What kind of yoga is that? and so on and so forth. Chapter 16 is, what is it? Daivi Asura Sampat Vichara Yoga. The yoga of discriminating the divine and demonic accomplishment, sampad, wealth, or another word. Yeah, so I just finished that by the grace of Shishi Radha Gopi Mangala. All right, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande.
Before he was a guru. And he told me that same story too.
Oh.
but it was very interesting to hear it. But I didn't know that you were the other person in the story. But it was very interesting to hear your side of the story.
Both sides, yeah.
You remember.